Well, may I add my good wishes for a very happy Christmas to you all. It's great to be together this morning and to celebrate in this way. I want to dedicate my first story to all those from Cambrai that I met yesterday in town doing our Christmas shopping. It was good to see you then. It's good to see you now. And I was shopping for some jewellery. And I went into one shop and the lady brought out an amazing selection. And she started with the first piece. Beautiful. She said it's $13.50, which I was pleased with. And the diamonds and the rest of it. And I was very excited, as you can imagine. And then that horror and that realization that it was, as you have guessed, £1,350. A gift that was out of my reach, sadly. No, I don't want any R's. It's got a point. On Sunday evenings over this past term, we've been looking at 2 Corinthians, and much of it has resonated with us, but one verse in particular, 2 Corinthians 9 and verse 15. Thanks be to God for his indescribable gift. Thanks be to God for his immeasurable gift, as some translators put that verse. It's so big, it's so priceless. And just imagine that retailer yesterday saying to me, Tim, it's a gift. This morning, for just these few minutes, and they are a few minutes because we keep our word and we will be finished by 11:15. Let's look together at this indescribable gift, this immeasurable gift, this gift beyond price tags that God has given this world, and a gift made within our reach. I think it's wonderful, and it's no surprise that there is unexpected joy that just pulsates through Luke's account of all those who are involved in the Christmas story. And I've got two or three headings for this, but first of all, the gift was the culmination of God's patient love over centuries. God's patient love over centuries before. It's intriguing when you see the amount of interest that people show in family trees. I love it. You probably maybe like it also, watching Who Do You Think You Are and programs like that. That fascination with people in the past who somehow have had a part in who we are today. Family trees make for fascinating reading, and that's particularly true in the family tree, the earthly human tree that Jesus was born into. We're not going to flick to all these references because you perhaps know them so well, but in Matthew's account, in Matthew chapter 1, all the names in the family genealogy that lead to the coming of Mary and Joseph and then Jesus being born. God at work in those long centuries. God working his plans out in ordinary people's lives. You see, one of the fascinating things, and it's a good reminder, this the fact that this gift is within reach for us this morning, is that in Matthew's list of people over all those centuries, 5 women are included there. Now, that's great in itself that women are getting a mention. It was shocking in Matthew's day to list those women. But even more shocking when we see who those women are in the line of Jesus. There's Tamar, a reference from Genesis chapter 38. She was an adulteress. Rahab gets a mention from Joshua chapter 2. And she was a prostitute from pagan Jericho. Bathsheba is there from 2 Samuel chapter 11 and chapter 12. And she, of course, the one who David commits adultery with. Ruth is mentioned. She wasn't a Jew at all. She was from Moab. She was the foreigner. And Mary is listed, chosen to be the mother of our Lord Jesus Christ. And here's the point, all unlikely people, and yet people who are significantly in the line of our Lord Jesus, who could so easily have walked away because God seemed out of reach, but no, God came close and saved them and worked through them. God and his plan at his best. But secondly, God's love gift this morning within reach, which comes through circumstances there at the time of the birth of Jesus. Again, God who breaks into the lives of these people, like Elizabeth and Zechariah and Mary and Joseph, and then through the angels and the dreams that were being had, and all those supernatural things that happen, the unexpected joy of it all. It's no wonder that people and angels are singing. The snag with Christmas is it's too short. You may think it's too long, but too short to really look at all the different parts of the birth narratives of Jesus. But in Mary's song in Luke chapter 1, in the Magnificat as it's commonly described, there's that amazement that God should choose her as a person. Mary sings, magnifying the Lord. Her spirit rejoices in God her Saviour, that God has done great things. I tell you why that's an encouragement for us this morning at this Christmas time. It's the fact that we live in a bleak world. It is a sad world. It's beautiful out there, but it's bleak and sad with it. And there are tears. And just as God gave hope to Mary in her generation and to all those people before with a promise that a Saviour was coming, so God's hope for individuals and the nation of Israel comes alive in Christ. How big is your God, I wonder? I hope he's getting bigger even with your Christmas meditations even today. And the fact that for all those characters that I have just listed quickly, their circumstances were often against them. Their culture may have seemed against them. There were innumerable obstacles to God being at work, and yet God comes through them all and delivers. And delivers a son. I know for a fact that some of us here in this church family, our church family here at Cambrai, have had a tough year. Maybe you're visiting with us. It's great to have you on Christmas Day. But maybe you've had a really difficult year for one reason or another. My friend, Jesus was born into a world crying out for hope. And Mary herself encapsulates something of that hope as she realizes that hope is to be found in God the Saviour, who remains so faithful through every circumstance known to mankind. We often quote this around Christmas time, but it's true that Jesus was born into a world of oppression and strife and difficulties, and the Roman legions controlled people's lives. Conditions were dreadful. And yet Jesus, that light, brings light to bear into this family and to the world. Jesus, the gift. And finally, Jesus, this love gift that somehow just covers distance. See, thinking about this from an angle or two, that the big gift of God's Christmas gift in Jesus. Matthew reminds us that men in the East, we don't know their names, we don't know how many of them there were. They weren't called wise men, but magi. And they were a long way away, but they became aware of this gift. A gift that was to become within reach for people. And they saw a star. Now, no doubt others could have seen that star, but these were the people who responded to that star and to that sign. And the amazing thing about the wise men, as I think about them, is that they should want to travel so far, especially with so little to go on. And then that they should want to give this baby king their gifts. And I say that because much closer to the birth of Jesus were all the religious Jewish leaders and people who knew the scriptures, who knew Isaiah 9 and Micah 4 and 5 and all the rest of it. And they didn't have to travel very far at all. But they didn't bother to go and find out, even when magi turned up. Jesus had come for the world. And with the wise men's journey and with their arrival, the day that the world started to worship Christ dawns. Jesus entered that world to smash that sort of religiosity apart. He came into this world happily going to the poor, to those poor in spirit, to those who worked and needed healing, and those who needed a saviour. Jesus to this day goes to lost people, struggling people, to those who perhaps feel the distance from God, who wonder where God's gone, if he's there at all. Like those lost sheep, too far away from God, unable to offer anything, too difficult to get to. Jesus came to them. And that's why I come back to my story at the beginning, that gift that was too out of reach. Jesus came as the gift to come within our reach. Isn't that wonderful? A saviour who is Christ the Lord. And those wise men from the east came to recognise that this baby was a king worthy of worship. We know that this king was to grow and to die. He was born to die. And the wise men bowed in wonder before a big God who loved them so much. Came across a fascinating story. I hope you both enjoy it, but also be shocked and challenged by this. One Sunday morning in the Netherlands, quite a few years ago, a wise man type of character, a sophisticated person, entered a church building and took his seat. It was near the front of the church, but he just sat down. And a few minutes later, a lady arrived and she saw the unthinkable. There was a man sitting in her seat. And she was angry and bluntly told him to shift and to move elsewhere. The man graciously apologized and moved to one of the seats reserved in the church for the poor. You can tell this was from a previous generation. He continued to worship with the company of people that morning, and when the service was over, he quietly left without a word. Do you know who that man was? A friend asked the lady, who had been rather put out. I haven't got any clue, but he was in my pew, she said indignantly. And then she was led into the truth that the man she had evicted from her pew was none other than King Oscar of Sweden, who was in the Netherlands on a state visit to their queen. And this arresting thought, a person so close to a king, and yet she had rejected him so that she could continue her religion and her religious practice. My friends, this morning we are so close to a king. What a wonderful, thrilling fact. It makes me alive just to be able to say that before you this morning. For all the celebrations of the day, which so many of them will be just our very natural traditions that we've passed on from century to century. But this morning, we, in our time, in our life, December 2009, celebrate the newborn King, Christ. We share somehow with the joy of the angels, with the joy of the shepherds, with the unexpected joy of Mary and Joseph, who had been chosen for such high calling. We share with the joy of those who would later meet Jesus as a baby, Simeon and Anna, and would see in Christ the fulfillment of those years of prophecy. This love gift that is within reach, which none of us could afford, but God's love gift to us, his people. For today in the town of David, a Saviour has been born to us. He is Christ the Lord. And for that, we celebrate. Let's pray together. Our Father, as we have said this morning, in many different ways, in song and in word and in our own thoughts, thank you so much for this plan of salvation. Thank you, Lord God, for loving this world so much that you have given us your Son, your one and only Son. We thank you, Lord, that you are working that plan out even from before the creation of this world, but down through the centuries, choosing individuals, working through individuals and their broken lives, that your purposes would be fulfilled. And how we thank you, Lord, that you assembled that whole group of people, each with a role to play, recorded in the history books before us in your inspired word. People who you would demonstrate your love to, people you would call, people you would choose, people who discovered the unexpressible joy of a Saviour born. Lord, we thank you that we are able to join with people around the globe today, celebrating in our lifetime this wonderful gift. Lord, we pray that we won't be those who just are so close to a king and yet somehow reject you as a person. But may we personally, even now as we end this service in prayer, may we respond with open hearts, open hands, open lives to say, come, Lord Jesus, be born in us today. Thank you for that gift of forgiveness that you won and secured at the cross. We thank you that you are alive and that in a way your resurrection has guaranteed all these things. We praise you that we serve a risen Saviour today. The Saviour that we're going to see again one day when you come again, or when you call, or when we are reunited with loved ones. Lord Jesus, this Christmas day, we just say a big, massive thank you. And thank you that that love gift is indescribable and is within our reach. Lord Jesus, you're only a prayer away, and we say simply now, come, Lord Jesus. Come into my life. I'm sorry I've been living my life selfishly and keeping you out. But Lord Jesus, I need help and I need you and your saving power. Thank you for dying for me and come and live within me. Even this day, in Jesus' name. Amen.